for that verdict this morning. Father, that verdict was made a long time ago. We come to understand it this morning, again, afresh and anew. Father, it says, I know you and I love you. Father, the fact that you say you know us and love us, Father, you know us inside and out, warts and all the sin and hang-ups in our life, and yet you still choose to love us. And Father, even more amazing, you choose to die for us. And Father, how thankful we are this morning for that truth. And Father, our desire, as the choir sung to begin with, Father, you would meet with us in a powerful way. Lord, we don't want to just show up and just expect you to do something just because we think we did you a favor and showed up for church this morning. God, we want to sing to you and to worship you and to adore you and to hear from you and to be challenged by your word. So God, would you use this messenger, though not worthy, to communicate your words this morning? It is a powerful and a challenging word this morning, I know. But Lord, I believe it is on your heart and the heart for our church family. And so I pray that every person in this room would receive it as the words from you, straight out of your word. Father, again, I thank you for these three that were baptized this morning. What a powerful message of lives that are being changed. But Lord, we want to see more. So Father, let us never rest nor be content with understanding there are many who are far from you, who don't know Jesus as Savior and as Lord. And that is why we are here. Let us never forget that. Father, burn that deep into our hearts this morning. Father, we have much to be thankful for. So, Father, this morning we turn our attention to being thankful for our support, our church. God, we thank you again, Lord. We can't thank you enough for what you have done in the life of this church family. We say thank you. God, speak to us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So glad you made it to the Lord's house this morning. If you have your Bibles, I read from there a moment ago, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We're going to be looking at some verses there and in a couple other spots there in 1 Thessalonians. As we continue our series, Thankful. Now, I don't usually do series that go along with the holidays. I just don't usually do that, except on occasion with Christmas I do that way. But this series, I've not done a series on this title before ever. I'm just thinking about being thankful and being thankful in all things and being thankful all the time and not just being thankful at Thanksgiving, which we typically tend to do, and we name our blessings then. The good old hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, name them one by one, and we only tend to do that. We count our blessings at Thanksgiving. And yet our call in life, our call as believers is to be thankful all the time, which sometimes we do okay, but here's the greatest challenge. We'll talk about it at the end of this month, being thankful for all things. We're usually very good to be thankful about the good things, but the real question is, are we thankful for the hard times, for the difficult moments? And we're going to talk about how in the world can you be thankful for those kinds of things in those kinds of situations. How can we be thankful? What in the world does that really mean? But the first Sunday of the month, we talked about being thankful for our story. Being thankful for the story that God has given each of us that we're to share. And we'll talk about that here in just a moment. We're thankful for our story. You know, I remember last week's thankful for what? Anybody remember? I won't test you on 2 weeks ago because I know that's a fat chance. Anybody from last week? Thankful for what? Anybody? Please, not all at one time. Let's keep it together here. Anybody remember? It's an S word. I'll give you that much. Thankful for my season to share, right? Have a chance to share with others. Here is the example. We're going to pray over these boxes at the end of our service. But wow, thankful for our season to share. Our chance to give to all kinds of things. Why do we give? Because Christ gave to us. And then this morning we'll talk about this third idea of being thankful for my support. We are thankful for Christ, the greatest gift of all, but Christ set up the greatest institution of all times, the church. But I'm going to take it down to not just the church globally, but let's just take it down to our church specifically, both in our church as a whole, but take it down into life groups. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for the support that it brings into our lives and the support we are to each other. Just a question to ask yourself, can you imagine where you would be without your church family? And if you answer the question this way, man, I don't know where I would be. I'm thankful, so thankful, then praise the Lord. But if your answer is, well, I think I'd be all right, then my question to you this morning would be this, or my challenge to you to be this, then you are not deeply connected. Because you see, I believe three truths about the church, about the support it should be in our lives. And I want to look at those three truths before we talk about the ways the church is our support. Then I'll ask Chris to come in a few moments and just share a word of testimony about how our church has been a support in his life. But think about this for a moment. Three truths. These are not rocket science. These are not things you've never heard of before. But I want to put it in perspective of the church. First of all, the first statement there on your outline is this. We were created to be in communion with our Heavenly Father. You and I, every person on planet Earth was created to be in communion with our Heavenly Father. What do we mean by communion? We're talking about a deep, personal, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship that brings love and joy and hope and peace and contentment and purpose and fulfillment and conviction of sin and challenge by the Holy Spirit of God. And our opportunity in this relationship is to bring honor and glory to the name of our Savior Jesus Christ in relationship with Him. And as a result of that relationship, this communion, we are called to worship Him. And worship is part of what we do here at Sundays, but worship is also Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the rest of the week. It is to commune with our Savior, to have a relationship, one that is vertical with our Savior. And here's the thing, sometimes we think about worship, we oftentimes don't get worship because we forget that worship comes as a byproduct of a relationship. You see, worship is not something we do from a distance to the Lord. In fact, it's not that we worship someone we don't know. We follow someone we don't have a relationship with. The best way to think about it is back in the days when there were kings and queens. And you had to worship them, right, and follow them. And did most people even know the king and queen? No. They had no idea the king and queen were outside of who they were, but they didn't know them personally, but yet they had a call and a command. In fact, they had no choice. They were called, you worship this person or you will pay the price. And yet our Heavenly Father, who certainly could have demanded that, who created the world. Somebody asked a great question in one of their classes. They sent me a text this last week. Well, if God's first, then who created God? That's a good question, isn't it? That's one that'll give you a headache, won't it? Who created God? Well, I'll tell you who created God did. God has always been. He has never been created. He is the uncreated one. That is astounding to us. We can't really wrap our minds around that. And as a result of that, He created you and I to be in a relationship, in a loving relationship, but not one that comes out of duty, but comes out of worship and service and love to know our Father intimately, to love Him and know Him and serve Him in this relationship. You see, we forget, we get confused that worship is not, and following Christ is not about a religion, it is about a relationship. Our religion, watch this, religion in and of itself is not a bad thing, okay? But here's the problem. When all we do is religion and we skip the relationship, then religion becomes dead. But when we have the relationship with Christ, then our religion, which what does this mean? How we live our lives, how it affects what we do and what we say and how we serve and how we give and how we do all those things. That is our religion. But our religion must be informed by our relationship. Are you with me on that? That's a good word. Are you with me on that? I didn't write that down. The Holy Spirit brought it to me right there. That's a good word. We're called to do the works. We're called to do all these things, but we don't do them in order to earn God's love. We do them because God loves us, and out of our desire to serve Him and obey Him and be that Christ follower He's called us to be, then we go and we do what James 1:20 says. We love the widows. We love the orphans. We love those who don't know Christ. So we're called to be in communion with our Father. Secondly, we're created to be in community with one another. We are created to be in community with one another. Now, here's a great challenge because our world is increasingly trying to teach us in ways that that's not the truth. That is not the truth, that we're not created to be in community with each other. Because it's designed to be isolated. It's designed to be in a place where we don't, we do our own thing. We've talked about this often, our vision team, where our world is teaching us we don't no longer have a front porch, all we have is a back porch, right? We have garage doors. We don't have carports anymore. We have garages with doors. We close the front door. And the building, you go talk to builders today, nobody's building back porches. They're building all kinds of front porches. They're building all kinds of back porches and back porch kitchens and back porch fire pits, which is what? Behind a fence. Designed to what? Isolate us. Protect us. Right? But you get the idea. We are called to be in relationship as Christ followers. Remember in the Garden of Eden, Adam was, we created Adam and everything was great, but Adam was alone. And so God created Eve. Not that that caught God by surprise. He had it in his perfect plan, but Adam recognizes the fact that I'm alone. I need somebody besides the Lord, though he's great and awesome and wonderful, but I need another human being to walk with me. And so God creates Eve. We take that even further in the fact that we're now called to be a part of the church family. And I want to tell you, I believe it is one of Satan's greatest attacks ever on the church in America is what he's doing right now. And let me tell you what, if we need to find a prototype, somewhere to kind of get the idea of what happens and what could happen in our churches in America, go look in Europe and Great Britain. Some of the most beautiful cathedrals ever constructed in history. They don't have any need for a sound system. These beautiful Gothic buildings, soaring ceilings, beautiful artwork, beautiful things created to be the most beautiful building in town to the worship of God. And you go to churches today in Europe and there are thousands of them. And on a Sunday morning today, there will be nothing more than a tourist attraction. There'll be no church happening. Why? Because the same thing that is happening here has already happened there. And that is this, that the church is simply a matter of convenience. It's something that if I need it, it's there. If I don't, I won't. And I want to plead with you and encourage you and challenge you that you and I were created to be in community together. And this idea that has floated around in our churches in the last several decades, and that is this, that I can be a believer and not be connected to a church, is such a falsehood, a lie out of the pits of hell itself. And I've met him before. Met him in Alabama regularly. Go visit and talk. And No Shave November reminds me a lot of those guys. Go visit him. Have a big old plug at the back. Let me tell you something, preacher. I love God. I love my country. Don't tell me I got to be in church. I can worship out there in my backyard. I can worship on the deer stand. I can worship over here, worship over there. Don't tell me I can't love God. I said, I'm not telling you. God told you. It's not me telling you because I don't have anything to say worth listening to, just to be frank and honest. I thought when I said that, I thought, wow, that well, I'll really get him in church. It's what God says that matters. And it's creeping in into our generations to teach our children that church doesn't really matter that much. It's just the truth. That other things have greater importance. We can talk about all kinds of things that keep us. And boy, I wrote down a list of things in my mind and my heart. But I think when I say this, you get this. I want to encourage you to know and understand, not because it makes me happy or makes me look good or our church look good, but I know what it means for you, that Sundays in your house need to be a non-negotiable. That it is the Lord's Day. And this notion we've bought into that the Lord's Day is the Lord's Day when it's convenient, when I don't have anything else to do, and my kids don't have something to do, that it is the Lord's Day. Folks, it is the Lord's Day, and we can bless it and cover it up in all kinds of ways and spiritualize it. But at the end of the day, listen to my heart. Listen to the heart of the Father. We must be in community here. If it's your church here or in the church wherever you're a part of, you must be a part of a church family, deeply connected. Amen. Some of that's an oh me, I know. I can preach on this one because that's easy for me. Some would say, well, that's not fair, preacher. You get paid to come. I do. I'd be here either way, but I do. But I know the lie that is creeping in into our culture, and we get afraid to step out or say something lest we offend somebody or hurt somebody's feelings. Or say, well, I've got to. My kids, they've got to. No, we don't. We've got to stand up for what is right and teach our children. Teach our boys. It won't always go their way. They won't always be popular. They won't always be wildly successful in the world's eyes. They might miss out on some things, but I want them to know that Christ is first and church comes right behind it. And it's not easy to do in this day and age. I know it. And the pressure is great, especially for you parents. It is great and large to not be that way. But I want to encourage you and challenge you that you make a commitment. Be a part. See, here's what we know about the church. It's like our physical bodies. There's a balance. I'll never forget, I met the first time, and boy, when you get to be a preacher, you learn all kind of medical stuff. I feel like I could halfway be a doctor sometimes, all the medical stuff I've heard and listened to. And that lady, she was so sick for a long, long time, they couldn't figure out why did all these tests. They finally realized she had these chemicals, this salt and her sodium and potassium. Salt and sodium is the same thing. Potassium and all these things, they were out of balance. Right? She was low on some and really super high on some others. They needed to bring her body back into balance. It made her sick. See, here's the problem. What you don't realize is, and what I don't realize is sometimes, is that we're not a part of the body. We think, well, they won't miss me. It's no big deal. Nobody will know. Well, let me let you know. In September and August, man, we were blowing and going. In October, it was like a train wreck happened. We wondered if the rapture had occurred, quite frankly. Our numbers went from 330 to like 220 for the three Sundays in October. This place was a different place, to be honest with you. It was. Well, it won't really matter if I'm not here. It does matter. You're a part of the body. And if our sodium level is low and there's 100 people not here, guess what happens? There's less here. There's less to minister. There's less to do the things that are called to do. See, it does make a difference when you're not here. And not only that, when you're not here, that means potentially if somebody that you could bring is not here. And you can't meet somebody else's needs if you're not here. You won't know about them. You won't be aware. Oh, we are created to be in communion with the Father. We're created to be in community with one another. And when I say community, let me be very clear about what I mean by that. And I'm going to expand on this in a moment. We're called to be deeply connected. And here's our challenge, folks, and it is not easy. And we may have to make time for this in our lives. And that is to be deeply connected to know one another. On not a surface level, how are you? How are you, church? How's your life going? Pretty good? Fine, good, fine, right? It's just automatically, but that's like, just like, yes, hello. That's why I say yes, sir. It's like yes, sir, no, sir. It just comes out without even, I can't help it. It's just rote. But what is it really when we ask the question, how are you really? We have to ask a secondary question. And then we get the truth, perhaps. Then somebody shares their story with us. And we have to get past this idea. It's, again, one of the reasons why we did this cardboard testimony. Because I wanted to get us past this idea that we're all perfect and we all have perfect homes. It's so fun to be a preacher and a preacher's wife sometimes. Because everybody thinks, or most of you, or a lot of you think, that the preacher's marriage and his kids and his family is perfect. And I want you to know, we are not. Thank you for thinking that about me. It makes me happy. But I want you to know something. There are times, and she can amen, there are times my wife does not like me. There are times I don't like me. I know she doesn't like me. There are times when I lose my temper with my children. There are times that I don't do the right thing. There are times when there are things I should have done that I didn't do. We don't live in this beautiful little happy, woo. And I tried to be transparent with you last year when our lives got turned upside down. Something we were not expecting. And I've tried to be transparent because I want you to know that I am a fellow struggler with you. I'm not standing up here on this platform as somebody who's got it all together, who's got it all figured out and has all the answers, because I don't and I don't and I don't. And we don't. So what this cardboard testimony told us was, we all have skeletons in our closets. We all have challenges and issues that we face. And the challenge is that for your pastor is to get all of us together on the same page and say, hey, you've got that problem, well, so do they. On Wednesday night, not long ago, somebody was sharing with something and we were praying together. And they shared something. I'm like, oh, so-and-so has the same story. And I did something I don't do, I do often that I don't think long enough about something before I do it, and I get excited and I pray about it and I just go and do it. I don't think to ask somebody, but I just went and grabbed this other person. I said, I know you didn't tell me I could, but I told him you had the same story. Would y'all just get together and talk about it and pray together? Because I don't have that same issue. I don't even know what that's like, but the two of you might know what it's like, and y'all can talk together. You see, the one and the other didn't know the other had the problem. We all have challenges, but here's the question, here's the challenge, is we have to be able to know one another to help each other to share our stories. Well, but what if somebody knew my story? Well, God forbid somebody know your story. What better place for people to know your story than right here in the church body, right? What if somebody goes and shares my story? Let them share my story. Folks, I cannot tell you, most of you, I think, have gotten a clue of what my story is in my past and what I faced in my life. But I want you to know, I've had people tell me, well, preacher, you better not share that part of your story. It might really affect your ministry. I mean, people that I loved and respected, I looked at them and I said, well, can you expand on that, what you mean? Because you're right, it will change and affect my ministry, because people will know their preacher isn't perfect and didn't have a perfect life and has the hang-ups and challenges and things happened to him that weren't his fault. I know what that's like. And so you can identify with that. People can go, I get that. I understand that. I can relate to that guy. I don't want you to be somebody you can't relate to. I want to be somebody that is real and authentic and transparent, and that you would do the same with each other. And we quit living behind these doors and closed doors, and we all act like we're super Christians and we have no problems. Because you know what? The lost world cannot relate to that. Can they? How can they? Look at them and go, well, I would never be like those folks at First Baptist. You know what I want to know this church is? I've gotten way off. Well, I'm kind of on track, but I want them to know it is a hospital. This is not a cathedral of only holy people, of monks and nuns who are perfect and never do anything, who never struggle. No, they see us and understand that we are just like they are, but yet the one difference is we found Jesus Christ, who has changed us from the inside out and has helped us be able to come together as a church body and share our lives and our stories together and find encouragement and help and hope and help others find the same. Yes, I get excited about that. That's what the world needs, folks. But some of us have got to get out of our shell. Some of us have got to get off our high horse. Some of us got to get off this impression, this notion that, oh, what if somebody knows my story? You know what happens if somebody knows your story? And I would guarantee you, some of these folks have shared their testimony. I've not asked all of them yet, but I guarantee some of them came up, some people had people come up to them and say, I have the same story you have. And did you know it? Did you know they had the same story before you shared your story? No. So we've got to share our story. Where do we have time to share our story? In church, in life groups, not in the sanctuary, in life groups. When we get together in smaller groups and we share our lives together. That is Christ's call on the church and on you and on me. But that takes work. That takes effort. That takes us being real and transparent. And watch this, taking the risk. Being in community takes a risk because, oh, but what if somebody tells somebody that doesn't need to know? I'll promise you that probably will happen. Somebody will share your need as a prayer request. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I wasn't supposed to tell anybody, but I've got a prayer request that we just need to keep on the down low. Okay, if you have a prayer request that's been on the down low, don't tell it. Now, sharing your life, that's a different story. Now, are we all just called to walk in and just vomit on everybody and tell everybody every detail about? No, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to share our lives together. Notice the third thing. And Chris, I want you to come share. Notice the third thing. We are created to help connect others to their Creator and then help them connect with a community of believers. That's what we're called to do. Did you know that you have a command by the Lord to help connect others to the Creator, to the Father, to the Lord Jesus Christ? We have that call in our lives. And guess what? It's not just the preacher's call. It's all of our call, right? And it's not my call to share your story, because guess what? My story is different than your story, isn't it? We all have different stories. That's what makes this body beautiful. We all have different stories. I wonder if you've written your story down. I wonder if you've had a chance to share your story with somebody. But not only do I share my story with them, watch this though. Here's the key, something maybe that we're missing. Is to share our story, they find Christ, and we come alongside them, and we say, now watch this, I want to get you connected in a life group with me. Well, who's in your life group? Well, I don't really know, or I'm not in a life group at all. We can't help somebody connect to something we're not connected to. What is it saying? Capiche? Right? You see, we're not just called to just share Christ with them and hope they find. We want to help them get connected. If it's not here, we help them get connected somewhere else. There are tons of good churches in Petal. Or if they're in Hattiesburg, there's tons of good churches in Hattiesburg. We can get them connected to a church body, because here's what we know. If you're not connected to a church body, you will never be the Christ follower He has called you to be, because you're never created to be an island. You'll never be able to practice these things as found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which we're probably going to have to get to next week. We're created to be in communion with our Father. We're created to be connected, deeply connected in community with one another. Community. We hear that word community, the Petal community. What does that mean? We sometimes have the misnomer of what community can mean, and even what church can mean, because we think community is this right here. And I want to tell you, that is a small smidgen of our community. Can I tell you when our community happens? Our community happens. You know what happens? It happens right here at 9 o'clock during our life group hour. It will happen tonight. You know that? It will happen tonight when we get connected tonight. Right? It will happen at 5 o'clock. We share a meal together and sit across the table from somebody who we don't might not know. It happens on a Wednesday night at 5 o'clock in a life group time or a supper, family supper time. It happens outside of this building. That is community. And not community, again, of, well, I'm fine, I'm good, but a community of sharing our lives with one another. Well, how do we go to that place to do that? We have to know people. We have to trust people, which means you got to spend time with people to develop that relationship. You see where it goes. Chris Robbins tomorrow, come on up, Chris, is scheduled to start chemo tomorrow. Chris Rhodes is super excited because he's going to be bald like him. Huh, Chris? He shared that with you, didn't he? And I wanted Chris to come and share part of what's really cool about calling the Robbins family here is God called them to minister to us. But dear church family, you have ministered to the minister and supported them. And I want to give Chris 5 minutes. Five. Okay. 5 minutes.
I'll do my best.
To share his story. Is his microphone on? Is it good? Okay, go ahead.
I'll do my best to keep it at 5 minutes. And I'm about to cry just for him saying that. But gracious, yes. For those of you who don't know, my name's Chris. I'm the student pastor here. I've been here for a year, last month, at the end of the month, beginning of November. I've been here a year. And I love my church. It's been a really long time since I could say those words. A really long time. I resigned as student pastor of a previous church. I'd been there for 5 years and had been there for 5 years even before that. And honestly, was ecstatic to leave. God finally let me leave. And Brad was saying a while ago, we kind of decided Andrea would have been okay if we had never went back to church. I wasn't quite there yet, but I was close. And we actually started having church in our living room just because we didn't want to get mixed up in something else. And it was actually through another family that was meeting with us that kind of caused us to realize, hey, we need to be plugged into a church. So we left, and long story short, God called us here through an amazing story, some pride in my life, and caused me to step back from where I was to make me realize that I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And so I left, and that was on Sunday, and Tuesday Brad called me, said, hey, would you care if we interviewed you? And I was like, okay, you know, and completely forgot you guys had my resume. I had a friend of mine hound me for 3 or 4 months to get my resume here. And I was like, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go, no. And it ended up, I'm here. And sorry, I'll start preaching in a minute. But we've been here a year, and I can truly say that I love my church. you guys and the amount of love and support that you guys have poured out on us over the last year is unreal. And this year has been the best year of ministry in my entire life. I grew up in a pastor's home, and so I've been in ministry almost my entire life. But I can say with certainty that this year has been the best year of my life. My wife loves coming to church here. You women that have surrounded her and supported her, it's been awesome. One of the ministers' biggest fears is being called to a church where my kids wouldn't like it. We visited several different churches between churches, and one of my kids, we left one church, and one of my kids said, "That felt like a conference." Okay, we're in the middle of another church service, and I look over, and Lucas is crying. I'm like, "Dude, what's wrong?" He's like, "That man won't stop screaming." And I'm like, "Dude, you know," it wasn't here. And so I grabbed him, held him in my lap for a little while, covering his ears against my chest, and finally he calmed down. But the moment we stepped into here, you guys had already called us before we ever experienced a Sunday morning service. And the relief that it was to walk in here and feel accepted and feel loved. First day on the job, I walk into my office, I got a basket of goodies. Got some Snicker bars and got a Winnie the Pooh puzzle and a couple of other things. Second day on the job, about had a heart attack. I walked into my office and I was running late. They were doing a men's breakfast at ungodly hour of the morning. And I walked in, I flipped the light switch on to drop my backpack, and a Winnie the Pooh that is standing about this tall was sitting in my chair. Y'all about lost me on the second day of the job. And then, fast forward till a couple of months ago, and diagnosed with cancer. Once again, you guys, it's unreal how much food we had at our house, how many of you guys actually want to know how I'm doing. And I'm okay. I'm not good, really. I'm okay, though, because I know, and the amazing part of it is that God called us here to go through this. If I'd have had to go through this at my previous church, I don't know. I'd still be laying in bed, probably. I told Andre, the best thing that I can do is just accept it, because honestly, it would drive me into depression, and I would not want to get out of bed in the morning, even more so than I want to now, And I can't go that route, because I know, as Romans 8 tells us, that he works everything to the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And I know that God has called me here. And the love and the support, even last week, Andre went to Haiti. I cooked one meal. And it was a meal that Kim Morgan had cooked me 3 months ago, and it was in my freezer, a month and a half ago, whatever it was, right after my first surgery. That's the only meal I had to cook. You guys just have Pastor Appreciation Month. I didn't even know that thing existed. Blown away the amount of love and the support that you guys have shown us. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for my wife. I want to thank you for loving on my kids, because it's a joy to come to work. It's a joy to come to worship with you guys each and every week.
You can be seated. Come here, Andre, if you will. I want us to pray over them. Vision team, what is one of the things we want to see happen often in our worship services, in our church? Vision team, give you a test. Thank you, Amy Kelly. Lynn, do you mind if I'm not even going to ask him, I'm just going to do it. Lynn and I were talking this morning, just something was on his heart this morning, and we stopped and prayed this morning. He's on security detail this morning, but we stopped and prayed with our eyes open over security detail. We want to pray together. And I wanted Chris to come and share his story for two reasons. One, I want you to know there are others of you who have the same story. You have found support in this place. For those of you who still need to find that support and get deeply connected, like these two have done. But I also want you to pray for him and his family as they begin this journey tomorrow. 6-week journey, begins chemo 3 times this week. So he'll be kind of in and out of the office as he feels good. I told him, no problem, you can just work from home. As he's able, of course. I want us to pray together, and then I want us to move into our time of invitation this morning. Father, I thank you this morning for Chris and for Andrea Robbins, for Alex and for Lucas. Father, I thank you that you created them in your image. Father, just as you desired for them to be. And Lord, before they ever were in their mother's wombs, you had called them to be in this place at this hour. For Lord, you knew what they would face. Lord, I thank you for preparing them for this moment. Lord, through the difficult moments, you made them hungry for what is good and right. Father, our church is not perfect. We're far from it. But Lord, you have brought us a long way and are deepening us to understand what it means to support one another, to care for one another, to pray for one another, and to encourage one another, and to care and carry each other, literally. Well, that's our desire. That's what we want to do for Chris and Andre these next 6 weeks, is just to carry them. It's going to be hard physically, emotionally, spiritually to walk this journey, but I thank you, Lord, they're not going to walk alone. Father, literally, I'm going to preach this part, but time ran out, but Lord, literally, our desire is with them and others in our church families to literally do like they do in the football field. A player can't walk off under his own strength. We get under each arm, put their arms around us, and we literally help carry them and bear one another's burdens. Father, we pray your hand would be heavily upon them. And Father, this chemo would have the intended effect that it would. We thank you for the great report he's gotten so far. Lord, we pray this would do all that needs to do for one reason and one reason only. Not for any other reason, Lord, but for you to get the honor and the glory, and for others to be drawn to Jesus because of the testimony of Chris and Andrea and their 2 children. God, we pray for healing in his body, for protection over his life in these days to come. We give them to you in Jesus' name. Have a time of invitation this morning. Much more on this message, and maybe we'll finish it next week, or who knows. But I want to ask you this question, these 3 questions. Number one is this: do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you, do you know about him? I'm not asking you, are you a member of a church? I'm not asking you anything but this: do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord? If you do not, I want to encourage you this morning that you would, in just a moment when I pray, pray a prayer that is not some magic formula or potion, but is an act of the heart and the will to yield your life and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You were created by God to be in relationship with him. There is a hole in your heart that can only be filled by him. And I urge you and plead with you to do that this morning. Maybe you've made that decision in your heart privately, but you've never made it public. And maybe God would call you this morning that would encourage others to come as these have come and been baptized this morning, that in your coming you might free up somebody else to come, that you'd be obedient to the call of God and you'd let go of that chair and get rid of the white knuckle syndrome and let go. And come just as you are. A second group, for some of you this morning, you are part of our church, but you're not deeply connected. Church is not number one in a priority list Obviously, Jesus is first and our families are second, but our church is so very important. Maybe you're not connected to a life group. You say, Lord, I need to be deeply connected. I want to be connected. You can pray that prayer in your seat. You can pray that prayer at an altar. But I want to encourage you to pray. Lord, help me be deeply connected. It's connected. And for some of you, to be connected means you need to join this church family. That's what God's calling you to do in order to be connected, to help connect others. So I want to encourage you to make that decision public as well this morning. To move your letter, to come on statement. The last is this. Are you committed to share your story? Folks, we're not here just for ourselves. We're here to connect other people to the body of Christ. And I want to encourage you to share your story. Many of you have shared your story in a box with somebody you'll never meet. But I want to tell you something. There's some people in Petal, Mississippi who need to get a box from you. And that box will not have a gift in it. It will not have candy or cars. But it'll be the gift of your life, of sharing your story and letting them know that they can know Jesus as Savior and Lord by you sharing your story. And lastly, before I pray, that you would, dear, in this time of invitation, be aware that sometimes in the invitation, God wants to use you to minister to somebody else. Maybe it's somebody that comes to this altar and prays. Maybe it's for somebody next to you that you don't even know, but they're tearful. And maybe they see somebody put their arm around them and pray over them. Maybe it's for some other thing that God is doing in your life. You'd be sensitive that God would speak to your heart. For the invitation is for every single one of us to respond publicly with what Christ is doing in our heart privately. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, I thank you for this incredible opportunity, Lord, to respond to you. And I pray we would not miss this moment. For some to know, come to know Christ as Savior and Lord, they would pray a simple prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I admit to you I'm a sinner. Lord, that I have fallen short of the glory of God. And today, Lord, I ask you, the second part of the, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins, past, present, and future. And Lord, today I believe you are the Son of God. You came and died on a cruel cross for me so that I could have eternal life, so that I could hear that statement, not guilty. Father, today I confess you as Savior. Lord, I cannot save myself. And Lord, I want to commit my life to you to be the boss, the king, the master of my life for the rest of my days. Lord, I pray for any person who prayed that prayer, they'd have the courage to come and grab Chris or I by the hand and say, I pray that prayer. I want to follow Christ today, right now. Lord, I pray for others to have courage to come and say yes to Christ, to be a part of this church family, to come and say, yes, I need to be baptized. I've never done it. Maybe an adult like Ryan who made a decision a long time ago but never publicly, boldly stood before a group of church family that loves us and supports us and says, yes, we're excited at the decision that you have made. For others to come to this altar, for us to do business with you. And God, thank you most of all that we can come to you just as we are. And you will love us and hold us tight. And Father, inside the hug of God, you will challenge us about areas of our life where we need to grow and deepen, and sin that needs to be confessed and things that need to change. God, speak to us now, I pray, with the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us, worship together? Let's sing this together. Let's worship together. Let's respond together right now as we come.
Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit come. Come just as you are. And see, come receive, come and live forever. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come receive, come and live. is he, Christ the King.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're coming to a time of offertory. And I want to remind you, I'm always reminded of somebody last year who got this time, they not yet responded. And God was speaking to them. So I want to encourage you, just because we go to a time of offertory does not mean the invitation is over. If God is still speaking to your heart and you need to respond, I want to encourage you to get up out of your chair. Chris and I'll be seated somewhere towards the front and say, I needed to come, but I didn't. It's never too late. Charlie's going to come and lead us in our offertory prayer. I always remind us from time to time, this is for those who are members and connected to our body to give. Guests, we never expect you to give at all. For those of us to give out of the abundance of that which God has so richly blessed us with. Charlie, you lead us this morning.
My name is Layla Allison. I was born and raised in Bosnia, a country torn with war and just pure devastation. As an 11-year-old child, I was exposed to so many things that no child should ever see. The snipers, the landmines. I was just terrified to step my foot out that door. I did not know whether that might be the last step I ever make. All the borders around Bosnia were closed and no humanitarian aid could come in. And that's when the country hit its bottom. There was no food coming from anywhere. Being hungry is something that you can't put in words. The painful hunger. My mom made me go to school. I begged her not to make me go to school because I did not have a decent pair of shoes. I had old torn sneakers. My dad had used some wire and he shut them back together, but cold and wet would still squeeze through the holes that my dad didn't manage to shut. I went off to school and I was very angry. I had made up my mind that perhaps that day I will not come back home. After about an hour or so walking, I got there and the kids said that they're giving these boxes out and I should go in and get one too. So I went in and the man said to come over and he handed me this decorated shoebox. I tore that lid open and laying on the bottom were brand new white sneakers. Out of all the things in this world, I got shoes. I went over and I asked the man who gave me a shoebox, who sent this to me, and he told me that Jesus is God's only son. He came to this world to die for me, to show his love for me. That was the day I accepted the Lord, Jesus Christ, as the savior of my life. And today, proudly, I can say that it's because of Lord Jesus in that shoebox that I'm a Christian and I go to heaven. Here's some eraser. I just can't thank him enough for giving me that chance. I can't thank him enough for finding me all the way in Bosnia. He loved me and he showed me that. And then he took me back in the United States and he said, but I love you more. Now you get to pack some. And now my children are the ones that get to pack it. Is just like I thank Lord over and over. Not only did I receive that shoebox as an 11-year-old girl, 15 years later, I'm in the area I grew up and I get to deliver the same shoeboxes. Thank you for sending my shoebox. Thank you for introducing me to Jesus. May God bless you for what you're doing. And please keep continuing to do what you do. You're changing the lives forever. And you're changing them for Jesus Christ.
Wow. Sometimes we don't realize the beauty of the gift in a shoebox, huh? This morning we want to pray over these shoeboxes in just a moment. Our goal is over 300. I have no idea how many we have, but if we didn't have 300, we're going to encourage you so we can reach 300 till next week. So I think we got it though. I think we're gonna hit that 300. If you happen to forget yours, you can bring it tonight. I think you can bring it the next couple of days. We'll be taking it to Petal Harvey, I believe is the collection site. And Chad, you came back just in time, didn't you, to carry shoeboxes. Praise the Lord. So they're gonna help us get these to them. We're gonna count them. And if you forgot it again, you can bring them tonight and we'll help get them there in the right way. You got a bookmark in your bulletin. And your worship guide, that it gives you ways to pray beginning today, thanking God for the more than 113 million Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes given since 1983. That said 61 million. That's an older video, so it's almost doubled since that point. We're praying today that the box that you and I have packed will go to that child, wherever it may be, and they will find Jesus as Savior and as Lord. That's our prayer, isn't it? So can we pray about that? And then I want to share a few things with you before we share these families that have come. Father God, I thank you for every shoebox that is packed. Father, I thank you for every boy and girl that packed a shoebox. And Lord, they would understand the significance of what they've done. Lord, they've given not only the gift of Christmas for kids who won't get anything for Christmas, they'll get a box. But Lord, that it goes far beyond that. Lord, because inside of that box will be placed, Father, how they can know Jesus as Savior and as Lord. And so we pray over each and every box, that it would go to its intended recipient, and you would use it so they might find Christ as Savior and as Lord. Thank you for these many in our church who have given so that we can reach our goal and help spread the love of Christ in such a significant way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me remind you of just a couple of things quickly before I share the families that have come. Tonight is a wonderful night. A good possibility it might be a little wet this evening when you come. But we have two drive-thrus. You can park in either area, drop your food off, and be a part of tonight. We've planned for over 300 folks to be here tonight, or around 300 or so. 275 to be exact, lest Kamala and Sherry have a heart attack. 275, we've planned for you to come back tonight. This is always well attended. And we need your help in a couple of ways. Number one, bringing those food items back tonight, about 4:45. We'd like to start serving about 5 o'clock. We usually last about an hour. We have four serving lines, so we'll be able to blow people through fairly quickly and then have a time to fellowship and share together. We don't want to be in a hurry. We want to intentionally take time to connect with each other. And men, we need your help. And young men, teenage guys, we're going to set tables and chairs up in here. And so we'll ask you as we move this way, you can kind of move this way because we're going to start setting up from this end over. And we've got several men that are kind of going to help us be organized. And I don't even remember who all I've asked now, but Tony and Terry and Andy and John and I don't even know. I asked you, these six men, there's six men that have got a map. So we've got to kind of lay it out beautiful how we're going to do that. So if you would be willing to stay behind and help us set that up, that would be hugely helpful so we can get that squared away for tonight. You don't know what to bring, just bring something. All right? If you can't bring something, bring nothing, just bring yourself. We want you to be here and be a part of tonight. All right? Last chance to do our transformational church assessment this week. That's it. We'll cut it off after this week. We've got 88. Our original goal was 100, so we just need 12 more people to go home. Y'all really blessed me last week, I have to tell you. I challenged you so good, and two of you responded. So thank you for you two that responded. It blesses me. So I just need 12 more of you to be blessed today and bless your preacher and our vision team and fill that thing out today, and we can be moved on from that and help our vision team. Thanksgiving baskets, we just need the cranberry sauce to fill up those baskets. There are four angel tree angels left. If you want to grab one of those, you're out the door. It's out in this foyer. And if you happen to have taken one last week, and Liz, it was a 15-year-old boy. Is that right, Liz? I don't know if you're here or where you are. Is Liz here? Nope. We found that person? Never mind. They didn't tell me. All right, so we're good. So never mind. All right, well, grab those four angels. And then Lottie Moon, our goal is $17,000 is going to be our gift on December the 14th. Hope you're already praying about that. Last family, Sharon, you come, if you'll stand. Shane came a few weeks ago. You can come stand. Guys, y'all can come stand with her. Come on. Y'all know you've already baptized. We baptized a few weeks ago, or actually months ago now. And Sharon wants to come and move her letter to be a part of our church family. And we are delighted to have Sharon with us as well. So would you welcome her and her family with us this morning? I'm going to ask the Rainey bunch to come, if you will. Russ and Shannon Rainey and Gage and Corey and Carmen. Is that right? Did I say that right? Huh? You're good. I just want to see if I said it right. I'll make sure the writing, her handwriting is very flowery. Did you notice that? It's very good. The Raineys have come from a church in our area as well. I feel like this is where God wants them to be plugged in and connected. I know a lot of you know them already. But they want to come be a part of our church family. If you rejoice with that decision, you say amen as well and welcome. K's, I got it. Kind of keeping out there. I got it. The matching letters. Now I got it. All right. I'm a little slow sometimes. Well, so glad you made it to the Lord's house today. I look forward to seeing you back tonight. If you'll come by and greet these folks, and if you'll do that, as well as help us move tables, also things out in both foyers, Chris and I will be out there as well to greet you and say thank you for being our guest today if you were a first or second time guest today. Wow, it's been good to be in God's house today, hasn't it? God has spoken to our hearts, and I'm so grateful. Let's stand together.